So reading from Jivadharma, Nityadharma, Sadhana, and Satya. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Aksur Nulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhadevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're following the story of Jivadharma. So we're following the stories of people coming to Krishna consciousness. After the generation after Lord Chaitanya, and it's taking place in Gojroom, or it's taking place in Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya was born, and the person we're following now is named Nyaya Panchanana, and he was a great logician, but he was cursed to forfeit his status as a logician. And somehow or other, on the absolute platform, everything is meant to bring us closer to Krishna. So a curse can be a blessing if your objective is Krishna consciousness, and somehow or other, the way the curse manifested was that he became attracted to devotional service and actually gave up his desire to be a great logician. He was so feared. And the way that happened was is that he became interested in Lord Chaitanya, who was a great logician in his youth before he took sannyas. And agyata sukriti, he got the bhakti unknowingly just by becoming fascinated with Lord Chaitanya. It works. If people without offense come in contact with bhakti, you know, I did this program at Pure Yoga, very posh place up the west side. So I'm using the train, and it's just new for me again. I'm trying to find out where to go. And so I went in, and there's no toll booths anymore. So I was trying to put the dollar in and get my card, and the train was coming. And then some young lady came, and she just put some money in and gave me a pass, just out of the kindness of her heart. I didn't even ask her. She just wanted to help some monk or sadhu or whatever the reason is. But that's a gyata. She's not knowing, but there's benefit there. Not I'm whatever I am, but any devotee, if someone helps like that, it just works. In that regard, I was just at the Revolves You know that they have their restaurant opened up there. It's right off the thruway on exit 16. And I was very impressed. They're doing a great job. Very well organized and understood. And the people are coming. The mechanic across the street. Just an ordinary, ordinary guy. Maybe about my age or something. Just an ordinary, ordinary guy. Somehow this diner opens across the street. And some, I don't know, some one of the people working there brought him some prasadam, and his whole life has been changed. He was telling me, a simple guy. He was saying he was so fearful of death. He was so fearful of this. And by association with the devotees, 80% of his depression is gone. Just a nice to see, just a nice working man. And all kinds of people like that were coming in. So I was pretty impressed. Who would know? So anyway, I got to Sukriti, and he became very interested and more interested, and now he's real. He's given up his desire for being a logician, and he wants to associate with devotees. So that's how it begins. Adau Sadha, Sadha Sadhu Sangha. When you appreciate Krishna consciousness in some way, knowing we are unknowingly, it creates a taste of bhakti in your heart. And if you don't commit offense, that taste will gradually move to the platform that you want to associate with devotees. So that's what happened to him. And, you know, he's a bright guy, and he's trying to get educated and get his doubts cleared. And he goes to this ashram with this great Raghunath Das Babaji, who was an associate of Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj, and he's very learned and respected. So he asks him, and he really wants to know such an important point, what is sadhana and what is sadhya? It's such a nice definition. Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, what is the sadhana? What is the sadhya? These are the two most important questions. What is the goal and what is the practice to attain that goal? And Raghunath Das Babaji explains that the shastras is like a whip for filling cow. It satisfies the desires of whoever approaches it in different ways. And therefore, different people have different goals. One is material enjoyment, one is personal liberation, and one is love of Godhead. According to their goals, they have a different types of practice. So the shastras describe the different types of sadhana to attain bhakti, mukti, and bhakti. So there's all kinds of pious activities, building temples and performing sacrifices to get bhakti. And there's also different sadhanas to get mukti, like discrimination or renunciation, reading the shastras about liberation. But he describes bhakti as the highest sadhana because it is the perfectional state of the living entity. You know, every other sadhya becomes a sadhana for the next stage. But bhakti is the perfection. It ends there. It's the goal. There's nothing higher than that. And I think that's very well understood by people. Sometimes I go to the yoga studios And I ask people, think of a person whom you admire. And I ask them to think of the qualities in that person that they admire. And inevitably they say something like generosity, humility, or unconditional love. And I said, just say what you actually admire. What you actually admire. Is a change in heart. That it seems obvious that the goal is love. And that's bhakti. And bhakti is the highest love, where the love is extended to everything. So he presents that the final sadhya in the chain of bhakti is prem bhakti. And that's the final sadhya and sadhana. The karma and jnana are not the final, they're only intermediate stages. So this nyaya panchanana is also, his name is also Vrajana. He starts quoting from the different Upanishads, why can't we regard mukti as the supreme sadhya, the supreme goal? Because there's so many different things in the shastras. Statements in the shastras like tattvamasi, aham brahmasmi, things like this, which seem to indicate that's the goal of all the Vedas, is a personal liberation. So now we're going to listen to the answer of Raghunath Das Babaji. I'll comment. He says, I already explained that there are many different types of sadhya according to the different tendencies. He's going to explain how this sadhya, this goal, and this practice work. One cannot accept the validity of mukti as long as one has a desire for bhakti. And many of the statements in Shastra are written to people on that level. So he's going to explain, as each karma and jnana, they're all prescribed for people at particular levels, but they, if you perfect that level, it brings you to the next level. Therefore, naturally, the shastras promote that because it's good for the people. Even though it's not the highest thing, they promote it as if it was the highest. So, for example, he quotes from the Apastamba Shrota Sutra, which states, Akshayam Havai Chatamasya Yajinaha. Those who observe the vow of Chatamasya obtain perpetual residence in heaven. That's the goal of bhakti, be in the heavenly planets where you enjoy on such a higher level. So then he asked, does this mean that mukti is a worthless goal? No. The karmis cannot discover the recommendations from Shastra for mukti, but that does not mean mukti is not described anywhere in the Vedas. So if you have that proclivity, then you will be attracted to particular statements and you won't actually see another path that's higher. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata goro tasyateya tata karma. One who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme lord, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. So there's some kind of qualification of approach just to see further and further depth in the Vedas. Karmis cannot discuss. A few of the rishis who recommend the path of karma maintain that renunciation is only prescribed to those who are incompetent, that those who are competent should perform karma. So You get rishis at different stages that promote their paths, even wrong conceptions, because they're attracted or attached to a particular path. This is not actually true. These instructions are given to people on lower levels of spiritual advancement in order to promote their faith in their respective positions. That's interesting. So they're not true, but they're given to people on lower levels to promote their faith in their respective positions. It is inauspicious for jivas to neglect the duties which they're responsible. So according to your level of advancement and level of spiritual evolution, you have a duty. It's prescribed according to your condition. And it's inauspicious to neglect it because that will bring you to the next step. If one carries out one's duties in full faith that they are appropriate to one's present level, one easily gets access to the next level of qualification. So if you do your duties properly and you have faith, and if you have faith in them as the highest, they'll bring you somehow to the next level. Consequently, descriptions in the Vedas promoting this type of faith have not been condemned. The Vedas won't give explicit statements condemning particular levels because they're good to people. The Bodhi Beta, do not disturb the minds of the foolish and unintelligent. It says that in the Bhagavad Gita. On the contrary, if one condemns such prescriptions, one is liable to fall down. All jivas who have attained elevation in this world have done so by strictly adhering to the duties which they were qualified. Gyan is actually superior to karma because it yields mukti. Nonetheless, the shastras that discuss competence for karma praise karma most highly and do not substantiate the preeminence of gyan. So there's a whole strategy. People have faith in shastra. They have faith in the Vedas. So the Vedas, which emanate from directly from God, with the intention of helping people elevate themselves in spiritual life, are written very much with the audience in mind. Similarly, when the Shastras discuss the competence again, we find all the mantras that you have mentioned, which praise mukti. So you brought this very beautifully because what the doubt of Rajanath was is that there were so many statements that promote mukti. So he said, look, they promote karma, and they don't promote mukti. Because people on that particular level, it's very beneficial for them to perform their duties. So also, in the jnana sections, then why shouldn't there be things that promote jnana? However, just as eligibility for jnana is superior to that for karma, the eligibility for bhakti is superior to that for jnana. Mantras such as Tvam Tattvam Asi and Aham Brahmasmi praise and personal liberation, and they strengthen the faith of those who seek it to follow the path for which they are qualified. For this reason, it is not wrong to establish the eminence of Gyan. However, Gyan is not the ultimate sadhana, and the sadhya of Gyan, namely mukti, is not the ultimate sadhya. The Vedic mantras establish the final conclusions that bhakti is the sadhana and prema bhakti is the sadhya. Rajanath, the mantras that I quoted are principal statements of the Vedas known as Mahabhakyas. How can the sadhya and sadhana that they put forward possibly be extracted? So these are commonly known as the Mahabhakyas, the great verses. So this is a very interesting chapter. So this is a very strong argument. Let's see how Babaji answers it. The Vedic statements you quoted just a moment ago are not described as Mahavakyas anywhere in the Vedas, nor have they been described as superior to other statements. Teachers of Gyan have proclaimed that these statements are Mahavakyas in order to establish the preeminence of their own doctrine. In reality, Pranava, Om, is the only Mahavakya. All of the Vedic statements relate only to particular aspects of Vedic knowledge. So this is also very interesting. But they're not mentioned anywhere. When people speak to you, they act like this is already a Shabda Pramana, that this is already established on the Shastras, but there's nowhere that it's found. So, he says they're not. Where do you get the idea? There's no reference that these are Mahavakyas. It would not be incorrect, this is still Babaji, to refer to all the statements of the Vedas as Mahavakyas. However, it is dogmatic to single out one particular statement of the Vedas as Mahavakyas and to label all others as ordinary. So they're all important statements. They all have relevance. Those who do so are committing an offense to the Vedas. The Vedas describe many extraneous goals and the means to attain them, so they sometimes praise karma kanda and sometimes mukti, but in the ultimate analysis, the Vedas conclude that bhakti alone is the sadhana and the sadhya. So yes, now this is the answer. The real conclusion of the Vedas, that it's bhakti. And now he's going to support this with some beautiful references from the Bhagavad Gita, which is commonly accepted in India, that bhakti is actually the highest. The Vedas are like a cow in Sri Nandanandana, that's Krishna's the milkman. The Bhagavad Gita 6:46-47, he has revealed the purport of the Vedas regarding their ultimate aim. This is such a great section. Tapasvi bhyo diko yogi jnani bhyo pi mato dika karmi bhyas Chadiko yogi tasma yogi bhavarjuna yogi nam api sarve sham madgate nataratmana sadhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta namo mataha. O Arjuna, a yogi is greater than all types of ascetics, fruitive workers, and those who cultivate impersonal knowledge, aiming at liberation. Therefore, become a yogi. And I consider that the greatest of all yogis, who one is attached to me with firm faith, who constantly worships me with the full expression of the heart. This is in yoga, and the goal of the yoga is to concentrate the mind. Krishna is saying the best way is bhakti, because you focus on things out of attachment more than understanding, and bhakti is the yoga of devotion. Out of love, the focus is much more. Out of faith, the focus is much more. It is said in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. I just quoted this, so it's good to hear it again. Remember supporting that bhakti is the best. Yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tata guru. Tasyaite katita yarta prakasante mahatmana. All the confidential purports of the Vedas are fully revealed to that great soul who has the same parabhakti for his Gurudev as he has for Bhagavan. So how to understand the Vedas? Because basically the Vedas, all paths are how to transcend the ego, ultimately. Of course, karma works through the ego. Jnana annihilates the ego, and bhakti uses the ego. But ultimately, the uses the real ego, but basically, it's to overcome ego, selfishness and self-centeredness. So one who actually surrenders to God and surrenders to Krishna, he's experiencing the transcendence of ego and therefore has the vision to perceive it within the Vedas. It is said in the Gopala Tapani Upanishads, 4 Vibhag 15. Bhaktir asya bhajanam tad iha mutapari rashyenaiva mushmin manasha kopanam etad evacha naishtarmyam. Bhakti performed for the pleasure of Sri Krishna is known as bhajan. This means to give up all desires for the enjoyment of this world and the next, to dedicate one's mind unto Krishna, and to develop a feeling of complete unity with him because of an overwhelming sense of praying. This bhajan also entails freedom from all result-oriented activities. It's said in the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishads, Atmanam eva priyam upasati. One should worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the dearest object of one's affection. In the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishads 4, 5, 6, it is also said, Atma Bha Adi Drashtavya Shrotavyo Mantavyo Nidhitiya Sitavya. So, Nidhitiya Sitavya. Well, my child, once you hear about, think, and meditate upon the Supreme Personality, Truth, Brahma, this verse here explains how one gets realization. First, you should understand, and then think about, and then meditate, and then you actually realize. That's the process. Even now, you're listening to the class, and you're thinking about meditating, and then you'll realize. When one studies these statements carefully, it is clear that bhakti is the best form of sadhana. Rajanath, the karma kanda section of the Vedas gives instruction to perform bhakti to Ishvara, who bestows the results of all action. In the Jnana Kanda section, we also find instructions to satisfy Hari by performing bhakti through the medium of the four types of sadhana known as sadhana, the chushtaya. So how can bhakti be the sadhya if it is the means to obtain bhukti and mukti? Since bhakti is the means, it ceases to exist when it produces bhukti or mukti. This is the general principle. Please educate me on this question. So again, very nice. Generally, you perform a sadhana to get a goal. And then then once you get the goal, then you give up the sadhana. You want to get into medical school? Then you have the sadhana of studying for your tests. But when you achieve that, then you don't study anymore for those tests. Babaji, it is true that performing the regulated practices, sadhana, bhakti, and karma kanda gives material enjoyment, and bhakti sadhana, performed in jnana kanda, gives mukti. So that's true. One cannot achieve any result without satisfying Bhagavan, and he's only satisfied by bhakti. No other process is independent of bhakti. Because all processes require some level of mercy to achieve. They all require some level of mercy to achieve. To achieve their results. So he's saying, yes, There's a practice of bhakti in karma kanda and jnana kanda. Now let's see how we'll answer the question of how that doesn't make it. How that doesn't make it a sadhana that's given up, and therefore not the ultimate goal. Okay, let me see where I am. Okay. So he said, how can bhakti be the sadhya? So he says, it's true. He is the reservoir of all potencies, and whatever potency is found within the jiva or within inert matter is only an infinitesimal display of his potency. That's Krishna. Karma and jnana cannot satisfy Bhagavan. They can only produce results with the help of bhakti abhasa, not independently. So all results come from Krishna. So without bhakti, there's no results in any path. For this reason, it's enjoined that the practice of karma and gyan should include at least some semblance of bhakti. Accordingly, the bhakti seen in karma and gyan is a mere semblance of devotion and not shuddha bhakti. And it is this bhakta avas that is instrumental in bringing forth the result of these pursuits, because they're doing bhakti to get something else rather than to please Krishna, because their worship is motivated. He's saying it's bhakti avas. Avas means like a reflection, a dim, like the dawn is a dim reflection of the light. There are two types of bhakti avas, pure bhakti avas and adulterated bhakti avas. I shall describe pure bhakti avasa later, but for the present, you should know that there are three types of adulterated bhakti avas. There are bhakti avas adulterated with fruit of action. So you're doing bhakti, but to some goal to get something, some material thing, so it's an avas. It's like the sun. It's not the full sun. It's the dawn. It's the dawn of bhakti. It's not the full bhakti. And bhakti avas, adulterated with monistic knowledge. So you're performing devotion, but with the degree of merging. And bhakti avas adulterated with both fruit of action and monistic knowledge. When a person is performing a yoga, he must say, O Indra, O Pushan, of the Devata of the Sun, please be merciful, give us the results of the yoga. All activities exhibiting a semblance of bhakti adulterated with this type of desire are known as a semblance of bhakti adulterated with fruit of action. So this is one type of bhakti avas, completely asking for something for yourself, at the same time worshiping gods. So magnanimous souls have referred to this type of bhakti as devotion mixed with fruit of action, karma mishra bhakti. Others have described it as activities in which the symptom of bhakti are indirectly attributed, ropesiddha bhakti. So in a ropesiddha bhakti, there's a rope siddha bhakti, there's sangha siddha bhakti, and there's sarup siddha bhakti. So what a rope siddha bhakti is when you do something materially, and somehow or other, you give some of the results to God, or you sacrifice some of the results. So it's kind of not bhakti, it's a material activity, but bhakti is a rope or imposed on it. And then I believe there's sangha siddhi bhakti. I may get this wrong, but I believe it's bhakti that becomes associated. It's an activity that becomes associated with bhakti and becomes bhakti, although it's not bhakti in itself. For example, brahmacharya, you can be in a mayavadi. Vyasa, you can be a mayavadi. You can be clean, you can be tolerant, you can cultivate so many qualities and still be an impersonal. But when these qualities are used in relationship with Krishna, then they become a bhakti by association, and that's called the Sangha Siddhi Bhakti. And then there's Sarup Siddha Bhakti, which means the activity itself is bhakti, which is chanting and worshiping Krishna deity and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The activity itself, even if your consciousness is not pure, the thing that you're doing is bhakti. Another person may say, O Yadunandana, I have come to you out of fear of material existence. I chant your name, Hare Krishna, day and night. Please grant me liberation, O Lord. You are Brahma. I have fallen into the trap of Maya. Please deliver me from this entanglement. Let me merge in oneness with you. These sentiments are a semblance of bhakti adulterated monistic knowledge. Such magnanimous souls have described this as devotion mixed with monistic knowledge. Jnana Mishra Bhakti and others as activities with the symptoms of bhakti are indirectly attributed, a rope siddha bhakti. So it's still a rope siddha because your goal is not devotion. but you're using devotion in that goal, so somehow or other. These adulterated forms of devotion are different from Shuddha Bhakti. It is said in the Gita, Shuddhavan Bhajate Yomam Sane Yukta Kamo Mata. I consider that one who worships me with faith is the best of all yogis. The bhakti to which Sri Krishna is referring in this statement is Shuddha Bhakti, and that is our sadhana. When it is perfected, it is praying. Karma and jnana, the means to obtain bhakti and mukti respectively, they are not the means by which the jiva can attain his eternal constitution, position of divine love. When Vrajanath had heard all these conclusive truths, he was unable to make further inquiries that day. Instead, he reflected within himself. The examination, discussion of all these subtle philosophical truth is superior to the dialectical analysis of the Nyaya Shastra. Babaji Mahasaya is vastly learned in these matters. I will gradually acquire knowledge by inquiring about him from these topics. It is quite late, so I should return home now. Thinking thus, he said, Babaji Mahasaya, today by your mercy, I've received essential superior knowledge. I would like to come to you from time to time to receive this type of instruction. You are a deeply realized scholar and a great teacher. Please be merciful to me. Kindly permit me to ask you one more question today. Since it is already late, I will return home when I have heard your answer. Did Sri Satchinandana Gauranga write any book in which all of his instructions can be found? If he did, I am anxious to read it. Babaji Mahasaya replied, Srimad Mahaprabhu did not write any book of his own, but his followers wrote many books on his order. Mahaprabhu personally gave the jivas 8 instructions in the form of aphorisms named Shikshashtaka. These are like a necklace of jewels for the bhaktas. These 8 shlokas, he has imparted the instructions of the Vedas, the Vedanta, the Upanishads, and the Puranas in a concise and confidential manner. Based on these confidential instructions, the bhaktas have composed 10 fundamental principles known as Dashamula. And Dashamula succinctly describes both sadhya and sadhana with reference to the topics of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana. You should understand this first. Whatever you order is my duty to fulfill, said Vrajanath. You are my Siksha Guru. I will come tomorrow evening and take instructions to you on Dashamula. Vrajanath then offered Dandavat Pranams to Babaji Mahasaya, who embraced him with great affection. My son, said Babaji, you have purified the Brahmin lineage. It will give me great pleasure if you come tomorrow evening. Thus ends the 12th chapter of Jiva Dharma entitled Nitya Dharma Sadhana and Sadhya. And now chapter 13, Pramaya Shakti Tattva. So now we'll learn all the tattvas and truth. It's really going to get interesting now for those of you that can come on Wednesday. I'm getting a little excited. It's not easy for me to give this class sometimes. It's the middle of the week, and I'm already filled with so much studies. I got books piled up here about the Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu. Okay, would anybody like to ask a question? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Rajaraja.
Rajaraja, hey, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thanks. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I did have a few questions, but anyway.
Okay,
can
yeah.
I ask? This question, like the last question that Prabhu was asking. I mean, I wasn't clear on the question, actually, which he was asking about bhakti mixed with jnana and bhakti mixed with karma, and why he was asking why those things, when it came to the sadhya and the sadhana, you know, why those things were considered.
No, he heard so many verses that were claimed to be the Mahavakya, which indicated that Gyan is the Satya or the goal.
Yeah.
Therefore, Babaji Mahasai cleared up the fact of why these things are promoted, because at different levels of advancement, different duties are promoted to keep people.
Right.
So but what's the question?
But then after you explained that, it seemed like there was a slightly different question from that. Maybe I have to try and listen to the thing again to figure out. Anyway,
is how can bhakti be the sadhya when it's a sadhana of karma and gyan?
Yeah, this is the point here.
Yeah, so how can it be a sadhya if it's a sadhana? And what he explained is that to achieve anything, you have to do worship, but it's not shuddha bhakti. It's not the end goal. It's mixed bhakti. It's karma mishra bhakti. It's bhakti mixed with karma. It's a basa bhakti. So it gives the result, but it's, you know, that's his answer. The answer is the shuddha bhakti is the goal. You know, prema is the goal. So these things are not actually the ultimate goal. They're bhakti that's mixed with desire for monistic perfection, desire for karma. Yeah. So that's what he explained.
And
any other question, Gail?
Yeah, I just want to confirm that a rope siddha bhakti is when you're doing an activity for yourself, but you somehow, maybe you give the results of that
somehow
activity.
Or other, bhakti becomes connected with it. I guess one way is to give the results. One is just to perform some type of worship, you know, for some material reason. Just the worship itself is approaching God, so it's not pure bhakti, but it's bhakti is imposed on the material activity. Yeah,
but that sounded like the second type of I forget the name of it. Sangha.
Karma Mishra Bhakti.
No.
So Sangha Siddhi Bhakti. Sangha Siddhi Bhakti is not motivated. It may be you may be performing spirit, you know, some discipline or something like that that becomes connected with bhakti. But it's not bhakti in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bhakti in itself just to be a brahmachari. But it may not be motivated. So it can't be, it's not like karma. But it may be jnana mishra bhakti because it's not motivated. You can, you know, whatever it is, discipline, celibacy, there are impersonalists that are celibate. Celibacy is not bhakti, but it becomes a type of bhakti when you're a brahmachari and you're in the ashram. Because you're doing it kind of for guru.
I was going to ask if you have impersonalist goals, right? Let's say for cleanliness, you're clean because you're an impersonalist. So that could not be considered.
No, I don't think that's Sangha Siddhi Bhakti. No, I think Sangha Siddhi Bhakti is when a devotee is clean and does various things, and is, you know, it's not really his level. You know, it's not like his level of advancement is cleanliness, but certainly it becomes bhakti, or it becomes connected with bhakti, but it's not bhakti in itself. But chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, is bhakti in itself, which is Sarup Siddha Bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it seems like the primary difference between Arup and Sangha Siddhi Bhakti is the presence of motive, selfish motivation.
Yeah, it seems like that.
Okay.
Read further. Thanks. Maybe it'll be clarified more.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhakta Das.
Govardhan, hello. Thank you. Okay. We're going to end now. Okay. Bye. Shukobo.